When love and truth are in conflict, which one should prevail? Well, that's the question our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, answers today on Through the Bible. Well, I'm Steve Schwetz, your host, and it's great to have you on the Bible Bus as we begin a new study in the New Testament book of 2 John. Now, as you find your place in 2 John, Greg and I have got a great update for you from the other side of the world.
That's right, Steve. One of the things we talk about a lot is that our commitment is to take the whole word to the whole world, and that means we go to the hard places. And so today, we're celebrating a pretty significant milestone in the Kazakh language for Kazakhstan.
Yeah, I like the fact that in every language, oftentimes they name the program a little bit differently.
Yes.
I like that this one is called the Path of Truth.
Yes, yeah. We allow the national speakers and producers to name the program what they think is the best name. So our Arabic radio is Treasures of Wisdom.
Yep.
Italian is The Greatest Book. The Arabic TV is The Whole Book. So whatever they think is going to communicate best what we're doing, that's what they do. And it's great.
Yep.
And Kazakhstan is a very needy country. We don't hear much about it in the news, but they've had a lot of political upheaval in the last year. But what's really sad is they are a largely Islamic country.
Mm-hmm.
It's they tell us in this report that you and I have in front of us that Islam is growing everywhere. They also, I hate to report this, but it's the truth. There's a huge percentage of violence toward women and families. It's so sad how you see in these parts of the world that are under the bondage of false religion, how often abuse and repression of women is very common.
Yeah.
And of course, along with that, very high divorce rates, about one out of every three marriages ends in divorce, and also very, very high suicide rates. So that's kind of the context in which we're bringing the Word of God.
Yeah. Now, we've just completed our first year of the initial cycle there.
Yep.
And those of you that are praying and are on our world prayer team, you're now
seeing some
fruit from that. And if you can continue to pray specifically for Batanez, he's the speaker and he's doing well in the production. But as you can appreciate in that environment, it's going to be a tough four more years for him to get through.
Yeah, we also often don't call that out. That's an important dynamic. In many parts of the world, our producers are working under very adverse conditions.
Yeah.
And yet they have to meet the demands of a daily radio program. So that is a real point to praise God for.
Yeah. One point of the great job that we have is being fruit inspectors and seeing kind of the production off the line, the result of the 1 year of ministry in the Kazakh language. Here's one. This is what one lady wrote. The situation in our town is very complex. Many people consider themselves Muslims. My husband is one of them. Also, earlier I said to my friends, we were born as Muslims, so we will die as Muslims. We cannot change our faith. And just as an aside, that's an interesting perspective
that is
pervasive in the Middle East. We see that when we were in Egypt together, how they even tattoo
the Christians,
the Coptic cross,
and
conversion is illegal. You can practice your own religion, just don't convert.
That's right.
So that's a big deal. So as we continue on, she says, then I started to listen to your programs, and I understood what it really means to believe. I came to Christ through radio. I cannot read the Bible at home because if my husband finds out about my faith, he could kill me or cause big damage to me. Wow. But I've got the SD card and the Bible program recorded on it, so I listen to them secretly. I really like them.
You know, sometimes we read letters, Steve, and you say, if this was all that we did in a year or God did through us, it would be worth it. Think of this woman living in fear of her life. And the immediate thought I had was a personal challenge. You know, Greg, when you are struggling to open your Bible and read it because you're so busy, remember, there are people who literally are willing to risk their life to open the Bible and study it with us.
Yeah,
it's just powerful.
I also like that she pointed out she's got this program loaded onto an SD card, and that speaks to the alternate delivery methods, which you've talked about, how we're going so far beyond terrestrial radio, and God is blessing us in that.
Yeah, and we've got some other great ones. Let's go to the SMS messages. I love this. They're short but powerful. Here's one. I never thought about the light Jesus was bringing to the world. It was light of his heart. These words pushed me to ponder on God's word more and more. I've got a revelation. If we walk in his light, we will reflect it to others. Be blessed in Jesus. Thank you.
Getting the theology. That's great. Here's another one that I like, and I think this is indicative of the fact that so many non-Christians, specifically Muslims, listen. This message says, could you send me verses out of the Quran?
Yes.
My cell phone is very simple. I can read SMS only. Yeah. Well, brother or sister, you're getting something other than the Quran coming at you, let me tell you.
Absolutely.
Greg, we've got so much more that we're leaving on the table, unfortunately, but why don't you pray for us as we begin the study?
Heavenly Father, we continue to rejoice at the immense privilege to minister your word to people around the world who are willing to give their lives just to study it. We thank you that your spirit is reaching people through the word of God. We pray you would continue to move powerfully across the world and even in our own hearts now as we study in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now I'm sure that you found your place back in the New Testament at 2 John. We have now returned back to the New Testament, and we are going to consider 2 John and 3 John together. And then we'll go back to the Old Testament and pick up three more of the so-called minor prophets, and then we'll come forward again into the New Testament for the little book of Jude. A very important book. And then we go back for the final time to the Old Testament and take up the post-captivity prophets, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Then we will come forward for the final study, which will then be in the book of Revelation. Now, I want to have a word to say about 2 John as well as 3 John when we get to it, but I would like to share with you today an introductory matter that's very important, and very important especially in this hour in which we're living. Now, we have come here to the second epistle of John, and we've already considered the first epistle, and there is yet to come a third epistle of John. An Afro-American, or as some frankly prefer to be called, a black brother of mine in the South, I knew him years ago, he had the best way to divide these three epistles of John that I've ever heard, and they are three that you'll never forget, I can assure you. And they are to me the most striking and satisfactory of all. He called 1 John, one-eyed John, then two-eyed John, and three-eyed John. Now, friends, you won't forget the three epistles of John if you remember them like that. And I'm grateful to this brother for the way that he divided them. He was, by the way, one of the three conservative ministers in the community in which I served in Nashville, Tennessee. And he actually was a real brother in Christ. And that was way back, friends, way back in the days before you heard anything about this. I've always had the feeling that any Christian, regardless of what's on the outside, if he's right on the inside, that he's my brother. He's been born again. He's my brother. And that is the great truth, by the way, that we've had in 1 John, and it'll be continued in 2 and 3 John with a different emphasis. We are considering here, then, two-eyed John now. And the first impression, I'm sure, is the brevity of these two last epistles. It's something that's almost startling. You wonder, why insert just 13 verses in the second epistle, and in the third epistle, you have 14 verses. So that, regardless, both of them are very brief indeed. Now, someone is going to say, well, doesn't the brevity discount their message? It obviously means he didn't have too much to say. Well, not at all. It would not in any way take away from the importance of the epistle. In fact, it actually enhances it. It reveals that though it's very brief, it's very important, and it's essential in getting a perspective of the first epistle and not a perverted viewpoint. Let me illustrate it like this. My doctor has given me two kinds of medicine that I'm to take if I have an attack of diverticulosis. One's a little pill that I have trouble locating in the bottle. It's so small. The other is a capsule that looks like it's too big to swallow. You almost need a gallon of water to get it down. You have to float it first. But I've discovered in using both of these that the small one, the little one, the teeny weeny one, it's the most potent of the two. In fact, I found out it's the most important one of the two. If the big one doesn't work, then you use the second one. Now, what is Two-Eyed John all about that makes it so important? Well, John, in his epistles, confines his message to the family of God. The little children are to love each other in the family of God. And this is the mark of a child of God. Love Christ and love the brethren. And the brethren are to be distinguished by their attitude and relationship to Christ. In other words, to deny the deity of Christ is the very spirit of Antichrist. And this is the way that you recognize the other little children, is because of their relationship to Christ. And also their love for the other children in the family of God. And that is also one of the two distinguishing marks of a child of God. I think we ought to go back and pick it up again. In 1 John 3:10, I'm reading. Now listen to this again. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now that is cast in the negative purposely, so there'd be no way in the world for any individual who claims to be a Christian and does not measure up to sort of wiggle out of this. Well, you can't wiggle out of this one, because if you do not righteousness, you're not a God. Now, to be a Christian means that you practice in your life righteousness. These are the outward badges of a child of God. You are to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Now, the proof of it is, to others, is that you practice righteousness in your life. And if you don't love your brother, now this is a Christian brother. This is not the universal brotherhood of man. Bible doesn't teach that. But if you do not love your Christian brother, then you are not a child of God. I didn't say that. John said that. And if you want to take it up with him, then you take it up with him. But don't take it up with me, because I didn't say that. John said, that's the mark. That's the way you tell. Now, how about the lost sinner who's not in the family of God? Are we to love him? Well, we're told that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, will you listen to me carefully? We're to love them to the extent of taking the gospel to them. We're not to love them as sinners. We're not to love their sin. And I don't see that we're asked to love them personally, because they're very unattractive for the most part. But the interesting thing, we are to love them to the extent of taking the gospel to them. And as we saw in the book of Jonah, Jonah did not love Ninevites, but God sent him there because God loved them. And God said, since I've loved them and they've turned to me, Jonah, I want you to love them. Then Jonah loved them. So that is the relationship the child of God has to the lost world. Love the world to take the gospel to them. But you can't love the sinner and his sin. We're not asked to do that. We're asked to love them enough to take the gospel to them. That's the important thing. We're to love them in that sense, because God loves them. When they turn to Christ, we'll love them also. Now, the question arises, how about false teachers, those who deny the deity of Christ? And John's going to make it very clear in this second epistle here that that is something we need to beware of. He says in verse 7 of this little epistle, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Now, what about false teachers? What should be our relationship to them? All right. Now, will you follow me very carefully, because this is going to be the nub of this epistle. And if you and I don't get this, we're going to go haywire in our interpretation and come up with a pseudo-liberal viewpoint, because all of this love, love, love stuff today, actually, it's not exactly biblical at all, because they say we're to love everybody. Well, there's some that we're told not to love, and be very careful of. We're told love not the world, the things that are in the world, and the things that are in the world are identified with these people in the world that have made it as it is. Our love is to take the gospel to them, to give them the word of God. Now, let me say this, and I'm turning over in my mind, how am I going to approach this to make this clear today? Because this is going to go contrary to the thinking of a great many people today. And I'm not concerned about what you think about me in this connection. I am concerned that you see what the Word of God has to say. Now, the key word in this second epistle is truth. Now, the key word in the first epistle is love. And it's love that is confined to the family of God. How the little children are to love each other. That is the entire sum and substance of it. Now, what about the second epistle when the key word is truth? Because he begins in verse 1, and I'm not going to exegete it today. It says, the elder unto the elect lady with her children, whom I love in the truth. And not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. Now, what about love and the truth? Because the first epistle emphasizes love. The second epistle emphasizes truth. Now, when these two are in contrast and conflict, which one should prevail? And if we get the answer to that, then that will determine our relationship to the false teacher, to the one who denies the deity of Christ. Which one should prevail, truth or love? Now, the so-called apostle of love is going to shock you and me out of our sentimental complacency and our sloppy notion of love. Will you listen to him in this epistle? And I'm not going to get to it today, but will next time. Which comes first, truth or love? And I may shock you now, truth comes first. Christ said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't say I'm love there, but I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. You have to come to the Father through Jesus Christ. No other way. Why? Because he's not only the way, but he is the truth. Now, John wrote, actually, later on, that God is love. But after the Lord Jesus was here and said he was the truth, John said God is love. But that came later. Now, will you listen carefully? Love can only be expressed in the bounds and context of truth. Love can only be expressed in the limitations and boundary that Scripture sets. Therefore, what about the false teacher? Well, may I say to you, you're not to love the false teacher. He's going to make that abundantly clear. In fact, he's going to say here something that's going to be quite amazing. He says that you are not even to entertain him in your home. You are not in any way to receive him or to have any fellowship with him at all. Now, that is just about as strong as it possibly can be. There is another word of caution which we should look at in connection with what we have said now in order to get a proper perspective of what John in this second epistle, as well as the third epistle, will be talking about. We have already seen that love and truth are inseparable. In fact, truth and light are the same. In the first epistle, he said, you remember, to walk in the light. If we walk in the light as he is in the light. And we saw that the light and the truth is the word of God. So love and truth are inseparable. And Christ is the epitome of both. He is the incarnation of both. He is the truth. And he is love. God is love and he is God. So that now there's another word that is featured in this very brief brochure that we call the Second Epistle of John, and it is the word walk. If you will notice in verse 4 it says, and I greatly rejoice that I found of thy children walking in truth. And verse 6, and this is love that we walk after his commandment. And then at the end of the verse, it says ye should walk in it. And then there are several suggestions here that indicate where he's talking about walking. For instance, in verse 10, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine. Well, in order to come to them, there must be the walk. So we now go to the opposite end of the spectrum of the Christian life. Not only is there truth out there in right field, but also there's a danger getting into left field in another area besides doctrine. But the walk is important. And that takes us back now to the third chapter, verse 10 of 1 John, where he says, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Now that righteousness we've seen is Christ. And to deny the deity of Christ is certainly not to do righteousness. Neither he that loveth not his brother. Now we have here this second thing that is very important. The walk is important. So we go to the opposite end of the spectrum of the Christian life. Not only truth is essential, but the walk is essential. And we are told now to love the brethren. Now, the believer walks today in a very dangerous pathway through the world. We walk through a pathway that on the left side is the jungle of liberalism and apostasy. It's beautiful but dangerous jungle because in it are beautiful and dangerous animals that are ready to devour us. And then on the opposite side of the pathway, there is the swamp and the desert, and it's filled with rattlesnakes. And I want to say that this happens to be the swamp of extreme fundamentalism, where they're totally devoid of love. Just so you have the right doctrine, that's the only thing they think is important. We must be careful. A brother may pat you on the back today and the next day because you do not cross your T's or dot your I's as he does. He'll attempt to crucify you, to destroy you, to circulate a report to try and nullify your influence. Because of an overweening ambition, he'll trample you underfoot. Your reputation is not safe in his hands. And he'll exhibit hatred and bitterness, not love. Now, I've been in active Christian service since 1930, and I've met some of the great men of this century, giants of the faith, who preached the truth, and they were great men. And I never met one of these men who tried to separate brethren or attempted to dull the effectiveness of the ministry by some slurring gossip. But may I say to you that these men were great men, not only in doctrine, but in their lives. And I want to talk about them next time, but I'm going to have to leave right off there today. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Next week, Dr. McGee takes us through the entire book of 2 John and begins 3 John. It's going to be a great week of Bible study. You don't want to miss it. You can listen online or view a station listing at ttb.org, or if we can help you, just call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Well, I'm Steve Schwetz, praying Romans 5:5 for you, that you delight in God's love poured out into your heart by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. God bless you until we meet again.
Jesus made it all, unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Our story on the Bible Bus today is just one step in a 5-year journey through the entire Word of God. Come along for the ride, and you'll study both the Old Testament and New Testament, discovering God's great redemption story. Is this your story too?